Welcome back to the Surush Podcast. In the last episode, we heard how the king of Kailur, Bhim Chand, left and went back to his residence, how Guru Gobind Singh bid him farewell, and we heard of the intense martial training the Guru was involved in, both himself personally and also instructing his Sikhs in the same training. And that's where we left off, and now chapter 31 begins with that thought, mentioning how the Guru was enjoying his time in countless ways, sometimes mounting up on the Prasadi Hathi, the elephant, decorating the elephant in many ways, roaming around the forest, then heading into the city, bringing with him so much meat from the hunts that he was going on. Those beings whose fate was sparking up in good fortune, they became destroyed, they became killed from the hands of the true Guru, the animals. The Guru would mount up on fast horses, sometimes riding along, making them jump and gallop with such agility, like dazzling deer, wielding weapons greatly in practice, and those men who were in the Guru's close circle, he would train with them as well, bestowing to them beautiful spears and arrows, muskets, axes, pistols, wide swords. The warriors receiving them would be so happy. The Guru would first show them how to wield these weapons, training them up. The Guru would praise his warriors greatly. He would say, "The two worlds hang from the biceps, from the arms of the warrior. Those who obtain victory, they obtain pleasure in this life. And those who die on the battlefield, they travel to the heavens, where they experience and obtain countless pleasures and bliss. Their great praise pervades all regions." Congregations would arrive from all over, domestic and foreign lands, obtaining the sight of the Guru, and all their desires would be fulfilled. The Guru would deliver to his Sikhs the sublime mindset, the teachings. Constantly, they were merged with the discipline of detachment, vairag, devotion, bhakti, and wisdom, gyan. And in this way, time passed. The Guru was now becoming a beautiful adolescent, a teenager. A lot of time passed now in this manner after meeting with Bhim Chand. That fool was thinking in his mind of some way of obtaining that prasad, the elephant. He was thinking of many different ways, scheming, thinking of some way he could just get a hold of that elephant from the Guru. Firstly, he was thinking, well, it wouldn't be good or appropriate to fight with the Guru. He was thinking of some type of deceitful manner, some sly manner of obtaining the elephant through trickery, perhaps. And one day he was seated in his court, and he called all the wise advisors around. All the courtiers and ministers, they all came and sat close to the king. That king, who then told all of them his desire, about how he was thinking and just scheming with this in his mind, this sin in his mind about capturing that elephant. He said, "I really want the Guru's elephant. It's such a wondrous, greatly unique sight. I've never seen, not even heard of anything like this. And without seeing it, I wouldn't have believed it. It's worthy for possession by a Badshah, a great emperor, who would enjoy it so much. Watching it, it brings such great joy. Or it's also appropriate to be in the possession of somebody like me, a great king. Standing at my gate, it would be looking so beautiful. In whatever way it makes sense for me to get that elephant, we should develop some plan, some scheme to make it possible. In some way, we should subtly request from the Guru, perhaps, for its possession. The Guru loves it very much. He just won't give it out like that. So we should create such a plan, such a scheme, so he does give it. We just need to get it just at once. In whatever way possible, we'll get it." Hearing this desire of the king, all the people around him began to think, and they said their own plans. One guy said, "Oh, this isn't anything big. This is not a problem at all. We'll get that elephant by organizing some scheme. Your eldest son, he has a desire now for an engagement. Now we should send out a request to the king, Fateh Shah, for the marriage of your son with his daughter, and that it should take place very, very soon. So we'll make some scheme that we will need to take the elephant for the wedding, and we will take it with the wedding party. And then when the Guru asks for it, we won't give it back. And many days will pass in this way, and we'll make up some excuse and won't give back the elephant. Therefore, in this manner, a courtier should go and request humbly to the Guru that the king's son has this wedding request from Srinagar in Kashmir, that they have sent a wedding request from there at this time, and to show the wedding party something amazing, we are requesting your elephant. Please be gracious upon us and provide us with that elephant for some time, and understand the house of the king and all of his possessions to be yours as well. We will show our new relatives the elephant, and after we'll bring it back to you." When the courtiers told Bhimshan this plan, he was overjoyed. He began praising their grand intellect, saying, "This is also what makes sense to me. We'll just get that elephant once, and then we won't give it back. We'll keep it." Everybody agreed to this plan, and in this way, this delightful elephant will be obtained. Then the king called close a minister and told him the entire plan. He said, "Go now, go close to the guru and bring back that elephant. Make your skillful, wise intellect appear apparent to everybody. In a request, recreate the scheme so our plan could be fulfilled. Speak very deceitfully and lie to the guru. In whatever way, bring back that elephant to our residence. If you are able to complete this task, well, I'll bestow on you great blessings and rewards. And then I'll know how smart and skillful you are, and you'll obtain in all ways my happiness. Comprehend properly, understand the guru's expression and mood, and then speak accordingly to deceive him." In this way, they made their plans, and the king was teaching and instructing the minister on how to deceitfully trick the guru. They did not comprehend the greatness of the master of the world, Guru Gobind Singh, the knower of all hearts, understanding what everybody thinks and feels. The guru is the ocean of pure intellect, who has such grand and beautiful feats. The king, on the other hand, with such minuscule intellect, was designed to trick and deceit the guru, thinking him to be unwise, to be immature. But the guru, brilliant, radiant like the sun in the universe, which illuminates universally the entire universe, who the devatas, the demigods, the demons all respect and understand as the true guru, it is he who the king Bhimchand, with his immature intellect, wants to deceive. Bhimchand, with such arrogance in his heart, is like a firefly flying around trying to display his illumination in comparison to the sunlight Guru Gobind Singh. But the minister took all the instruction from the king and then prepared himself for this trip down to Anandpur. He comforted the king before leaving. He said, "I will deceive the guru through many tricks and abilities of mine. Understand in your mind the elephant is already here. Your glory will be shown in some manner or another. You are the greatest, the pinnacle of all the kings of the mountains here. Like a tiger amongst deer, all your desires will be fulfilled." And in this way, the minister praised the king, and then he desired to head out. He bowed down, he saluted the king, and then mounted up on his horse. He set off on the path towards Anandpur, thinking of the great deceit he was planning to enact. He then reached Anandpur. Seeing his residence there, he set up his station, his encampment. He brought with him the finest of clothes, and he got dressed in a beautiful getup, and at that time arrived at the door of the guru. He told the guard at the door about himself. He said, "The king, Bhimchand, has sent me to meet with the guru. Go inside and tell the news of my arrival to the guru. Clasp your hands on my behalf and bow to the guru." The guard heard this and told him to stay put, and he himself went inside to where the guru was gloriously residing. The guard saw the expression on the guru's face and clasped his hands, and he said, "O exalted divine, you are the support of your servants. Bhimchand, the hail king, has sent over a minister, and he bows down to you. He desires a darshan, the divine sight of your lotus-like feet. He has been sent here for some task, and he is greatly excited to see you. He's standing at the door at this moment. Whatever is your command, I will make that occur." The true plume-wearing guru heard this and then gave permission. He said, "Call him tomorrow. Do not leave him without any supplies from the communal kitchen, though." The guard then went back and told the minister this. He accepted it, and then he went back to his encampment. Then they asked him if he required any supplies or food, and they fed him properly with food and drinks. He stayed there at his camp overnight, and then he got up the next morning. The true guru bathed at that hour early in the morning with clean water, and then sat in deep meditation, samadhi. On his beautiful body he adorned such exquisite attire, fastening a jigga, a tiara, on his turban. And then the sun came up and Guru Gobind Singh came out of his residence. The plume on the guru's head was ever increasing the guru's beautiful radiance. Nandachand, the guru's minister, along with many other masands, they all bowed down to the guru's lotus-like feet. And at that point, the guru's uncle, Mama Kripalchand, also arrived. He bowed down to his sister's son, Guru Gobind Singh, obtaining great happiness. Then the five brothers, the Guru's cousins, all arrived there, gloriously adorned with their fine attire and weapons. All the congregation was desiring to obtain the Guru's darshan. They all had brought with them offerings. The supplication, Ardas, was about to be performed in front of the Guru. Everybody in front of the Guru, watching the Guru over and over again, they were just in such bliss, happiness. A whisk was flying over the Guru's head while sitting there on the throne. Guru Gobind Singh, the pinnacle of the Sodhi clan, was fulfilling all the desires of his Sikhs. The whole area of the court session filled up with people. The Guru's eyes, right to the edge, were filled with such compassion, and he was looking around at his beloved Sikhs at that point. This is how chapter 31 concludes. In the next chapter, we're going to hear about the meeting between Guru Gobind Singh and this minister of Bhim Chand. So that's where we're going to pick up next time. But as always, we'd like to thank those who have been supporting the podcast through the Mangalacharan Patreon page.
ਮੀਣੀਆਂ ਮਸੰਦੀਏ ਨੜੀ ਕੁੜੀ ਕੋ ਮਾਰ ਕੇ ਉਹਦੇ ਹੱਥ ਤੱਕ ਭਾਜੜਾ ਪਾ ਕੇ ਆਉਣਗੇ ਗੁਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਜਗਾਉਣਗੇ ਜਗਾਰੇ ਗੱਜ ਕੇ ਜਗਾਇਆ ਜਾਵੇ ਨਾ।